Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening, this is the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the brilliant guys from the 9 Years podcast. I'm with George, I'm with Kevin.
Hello. Hello.
How are we, guys?
I'm all right. I'm speaking for George. I'm fine.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I'm just. I'm fine. Thank you for the introduction.
No, not a problem. And you must be fine because we are back to winning ways.
We are. Yeah. 2-3-1 away wins at non-league teams. It's amazing how easily pleased football fans are after a summer of 8 defeats and many, many friendlies. You win a couple against teams 3 and 4 divisions below you, and all of a sudden, life starts to look a bit better, and maybe it says a lot about our lives.
But this is what pre-season is all about, right? Because you have Premier League clubs, if they're winning pre-season friendlies against teams a few divisions below them, they're quite happy with that.
Yeah, I think we should be grateful for small mercies.
Yeah, I mean, we also mustn't forget that Hampton...
Basically.
Hampton is a club that had a really serious rivalry only, 9-10 years ago?
Yeah.
So it does mean a lot more than an average win against a team 3 divisions below us, because the match does have history.
Hampton, a small anecdote to begin?
Listen, Kevin, I live for these small anecdotes. We're on for an hour, so we need to fill some time, so go ahead.
Okay, so Hampton, the history of Hampton and Wimbledon goes back quite a long way. And then AFC Wimbledon and Hampton goes obviously a little less further back. But we didn't manage to beat them when we played them at any point in competitive football. We drew a lot. We lost 4-0 at home to them in 2007. That was horrible. That's 12 years ago, and it meant nothing at the time. However, the stewards yesterday were very, very vocal and were making the fact that they supported Hampton and not us a lot. So I parked on the grass. I have a long car. I've got a Saab 9.5 Estate, right? It's quite a long car. The turbo version, the 2.3, is quite nice. Not
an old car, or...?
No, it's 2006.
Okay.
Not the old, really, really old Saab. Right. It's quite long, and I parked, I thought, quite nicely on the grass, and the steward came along and said, "Sorry, mate, you can't. Can you back up and level with the previous car because you're hanging over the edge?" I said, "All right." It was an actual space, so I shouldn't laugh. So I backed up, and he came back and said, "Now you're overhanging at the back." I said, "That's how long my car is."
It's a no-win situation.
No, I thought, I don't want to be rude, but how non-league can you be than to expect someone's car to shrink during the, anyway? So I said, "Is that better now? You're too." So I was hanging out the back. This point, as it were.
The car, yeah, okay.
So I just thought it was a typical Hampton official, but it was fine. The burgers are very good.
Well, I was going to ask you about the food, weirdly, because non-league football, the food is always slightly different. I often get down to Dulwich Hamlet, and listen, we're talking hipster football at Dulwich Hamlet. Yeah. I mean, have you? I don't know whether you've been to Jamie. Yeah, I'm sure you have. Very different, attracting quite a different audience there. But we are talking like gourmet hot dogs, sweet potato fries, craft beer, craft ciders. I mean, in terms of the match day experience, it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. What will happen if they were to go further up the football ladder? You don't know. You kind of suspect that the current crop of Hamlet fans would quite happily have them just remain as they are now. Got the promotion the season before last, which was brilliant, but you kind of think, do you know what? Quite like them to just stay there because the match they experience at non-league is just a little bit different, isn't it?
It is. I think yesterday's burgers were probably, I don't eat that much football food, but that was one of the top 3 or 4 burgers I've had at a football ground.
Ever?
Yep.
And how long have you been watching football?
My first game was 1977, so 42 years. I would put that in the top 3 or 4. And also, very, very good.
Stuart Deakins, the member of the 9 Years team, has actually gone on Twitter complimenting them for the standard of their chips.
This is wow. He's really taking it. He's gone to Twitter.
We're on the radio talking about how good their burgers are. So I shouldn't. I don't know why I'm finding that so funny. But just going on social media, making the effort of actually typing in how good Hampton's chips were is. I think that says more about Stew. But not Stew the food, Stewart. But yeah, the thing about Dulwich, yeah, and there's other clubs who have that kind of that idea. You're looking at kickers off and back. You're looking at St. Pauli in Germany. You have that kind of, you know, unusual attitude. And as somebody else said, I think Mike Taliadora said, I'm not going to claim this, that when you start off as a unique football club like we are, the further you go up the ladder, the more that uniqueness wears off and you become like everybody else because you have to. Mm. And that, it's a shame. So, yeah, I can see the idea of Dulwich Hamlet staying as a, you know, Conference South or Isthmian League Premier, if it's still called that this year. Team. Sure. And, you know, it's a shame that you have to lose that uniqueness.
Absolutely. It's a tough one. You actually think some clubs, like I said, just almost prefer to have that non-league aspect to them because they have that individuality. Like you say, you go up through the leagues. You see it with stadiums now. So generic. Everything's becoming the same. Brentford obviously getting a new stadium that we hope will have some character. But Griffin Park was so unique because of the four pubs on every corner. I was saying before on the show before this that you just hope that when these new stadiums are being built, and one in particular that we'll hope to get into towards the beginning of next season. Is there a date specifically for this,
by
the way?
It's still August, isn't it? August 2020. However, I think we'd all be very surprised if it is August 2020.
Surprised and very pleased, George. Let's not be too down on it. But yeah, you're right. You look at there's pictures of Everton's new ground, CGI. It looks great. It looks like Tottenham's ground with lighter blue seats, doesn't it? It doesn't look like... I mean, Goodison Park is a strange old ground in the old days. That strange bit of three-person deep terracing behind the goal. But it looks like everything else.
Absolutely.
It doesn't look anything like a football ground should, in my opinion. Tottenham's is lovely, but it's a bit generic, and it looks like an American stadium. Brentford, as you said, Brentford's new ground has supposedly got some interesting features. Southend's new ground, if that's ever built, has got a bizarre bit. Luton's ground isn't looking like Ebbsfleet's new ground. It's the old ground. Once that's finished, that's got some really interesting architectural bits with a wavy top. The roof of the stand's going to be wavy because it's on the sea, and it's supposed to reflect the fact that it's near the sea for now.
Which ground is this, sorry?
Ebbsfleet.
Ebbsfleet, right.
Yeah, Stonebridge Road.
And did you mention Luton as well there? See, that's one. Look, you go to some grounds, and they're awful. And Kenilworth Road is not the nicest ground to go to, but it's a story to be had. You're grinning, George. Why are you grinning?
I believe Nick Draper will be sending in a message very shortly based on your comments about Kenilworth Road there, because I share a very similar view to yours about Luton and the stadium there. Nick disagrees slightly. I think I'll word it that way.
Yeah, but Kenilworth Road is unique and quirky in the fact that each stand was designed by a completely different blind person. Let's be fair. It doesn't look like anyone who designed that stadium could see what they were doing.
Or had legs.
let's not get too down on disabled people.
It's hard because of leg room, of course. Like, it's very... And that's one of the first grounds I remember going to where I thought, crikey, I literally... It hurts your kneecaps.
It does.
But it's... Like you said, it still has that character walking through back gardens, effectively, to get into it. It has some character to it. And I think... You love that. You want that when you go to these grounds. Anyone listening, what is your favourite away ground that you've been to? Love Sport, 0208 7020 558. You can get in touch on the socials as well at Love Sport Radio. If you've got a favourite ground, let us know. Now, moving back to the friendlies.
Yeah, we should talk about our own team now, shouldn't we?
Sorry. It's nice to talk about some others.
It's great.
Spreading the nest. Met Police, you have discussed it already, but Nathan Trott was very good. We mentioned Nathan Trott on the show last week, but he had a good performance.
Yeah. He was good. Go on, George. You're nearer his age. In fact, you're older than Nathan, aren't you?
Oh, I am. Thanks for pointing that out. I hadn't realised that. Thank you. Nathan Trott is someone who has had, should we say, a mixed pre-season. I think it's probably a fair way of putting it. But the Met Police, he was incredible. We would have been 3-0 down, I think, without him very early on.
Yeah.
He made three or four really, really good standard saves. And I was standing behind the goalkeeping coach who was raving about him through the whole of the first half. He was that good. And it's really good to see him come into form because we were both worried about it and we've spoken about it before.
Yeah.
But he's starting to come good.
My worries of his ability are shrinking. My worries of his size and physical stature are not going to go away because I just think he's too... He looks frail.
Yeah, we won't know that until we play Rotherham and he jumps up against a League One forward at a corner. Yeah.
Frail?
I think he looks frail. He doesn't look like he's... He looks... I'm not a thin person. but he just
don't
looks...
do yourself a disservice. Well, Kevin. I'm not. You're relatively trim. It's not like you're overweight.
That's very kind, Matt. You're so much better than Jake. Jake was quite unpleasant to me.
I think
sometimes.
It's the shirt. The shirt's doing you some good to
know. This is the optical illusion. It's like a dazzle shirt. I look thinner in it, so I think I'll wear it again. He doesn't look particularly strong, lad, but he's clearly fit. And if the goalkeeping coaches had a worry about him, they'd build him up. And he's been at West Ham since he was, 14 or something?
Yeah. Mm.
So clearly it's not an issue. I worry about thin people. I just have a general worry. I just think, you should be eating a bit more. Because Nick Zanev is a bigger physical specimen than Nathan. He was superb. Really, really good on Tuesday. And yesterday, Nick Zanev was equally good. Made some couple of good saves, although maybe George, you were critical of him before we went on air, and maybe I shouldn't be revealing this, but you thought he could have done better with a goal because he didn't come out and make himself big enough.
He was a bit hesitant coming off his line for their goal, which made it 1-1, and also he didn't really close the angle, so he didn't come out early enough, and he wasn't really effective when he did come out, and that's a worry for a goalie, especially for our number two. But we mustn't forget Nick Zanev's very young; he's never played a Football League game. So he'll improve. But
well, neither of them have. That was our concern, wasn't it? Neither of our goalkeepers have played a league game between them. So, you know, if Nathan Trott has a bad game, we bring in someone equally inexperienced. Yeah. That's the problem of not having Joe McDonnell, who had played a good few games for us. But
and that is the concern of the loan market as well, that we obviously discussed last week as well. Michael Falivi bagged a brace, obviously spent some time on loan last season. Looked good?
Yeah, he's looked good. I mean, in Germany against Kickers, he looked really good there. Mm. He played really well again against the Met. And he's going to be our top scorer this year, I think.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
You've,
I think
you've actually broadcast that to the I'm going to say the word nation. The nation, George. I've heard you say that now.
Yeah, I can see him doing it. I think playing off the shoulder, I think we'll get a lot of goals on the breakaway. And I think he's going to be really useful this year. We didn't really play to his strengths when he was with us last season. Mm-hmm. And I think we are going to be a bit more this year. And I think he'll do it and he'll take a bit of pressure off Joe Piggott.
If we're not playing with a target man, which appears that we're not, or are we in the market for a target man? I'll bring that up now. But, if we're not playing with a target man, I think, and Joe Piggott is not one of those, then Michael Falivi will probably... All right, I'm going to disagree with you, if that's all right.
That's what we want on this show.
I'm going to say Joe Piggott will get 21 and Michael Falivi will get 16.
I
still think we'll finish one place above the relegation.
I mean, that's a decent return. You'd be looking at being further up the table. If you've got two strikers scoring in excess of, 35 to 40 goals, then you'd like to think you'll finish more than one point or one place above the relegation zone.
What I'm perhaps suggesting is that other players won't chip in.
We scored from a free kick and from a corner yesterday. We have to be optimistic.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, speaking of that, George, obviously a free kick, we must mention Luke O'Neill.
We should mention O'Neill. I am looking forward, on a personal level, I'm looking forward to seeing how it works out with O'Neill. But we did score a free kick deliberately for the first time since March 2014.
Yeah, so Callum Kennedy, right, was the last time. Hartlepool, 31st
October 2015.
He didn't mean
that.
Free kick on the halfway line, put it into the box, went over everyone's head and in.
The last one that was meant was Southend away, George Frankham, March 2014 at Southend. And that was deflected.
Yeah. That took a big deflection off the wall.
That's a staggering statistic,
isn't it? It's 5 years since we scored a goal direct from free kick that we meant.
If off the top of my head I think of, and we're going way back, Wimbledon free kick specialists, I don't know. But Alan Kimball was quite good
free kick against Real Madrid.
There you go.
At Real Sociedad, wasn't it?
I don't know why you're looking at me. I wasn't born.
George wasn't born. I forgot. I forgot how young you are and how old I am. I've not really had one since Sam Hatton scored a couple of free kicks for us in the Ryman days. Scored one, in fact, against Bath at home, where he scooped the ball up with his foot, obviously, on the other part of his body, would it? But he scooped the ball over the ball wall, and Danny Cadwell scored a volley. That was about the most creative free kick we've had, and that was 11 years ago. It says a lot, not 10 years ago. It says a lot.
I do love your memory, Kevin. It's very, very impressive. Callum Riley also came in and had a pretty decent performance, didn't he?
He's a good signing. Good signing, I think. You could say that, obviously he's played 60 odd games for Birmingham in the Championship. Yeah. I presume it's in the Championship. We need a player like that, and we've got one. I think it's a really good sign. I was really impressed with that. Some people a bit perplexed by him. It seems like it's another player we've already got, but he's not a Wagstaff or a Wordsworth. He's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I think he could fit in. He's left-footed.
Yeah.
He could certainly, but also he can play left-back as well, which is very handy. I'm happy with him. And his contract was ripped up in the morning at Gillingham, signed for us in the afternoon. Nice. Bit of commitment. So he fell out with Steve Evans, and he's not the first person to do that.
Absolutely not the first person.
Neither will he be the last.
I'm sure he won't be the last. But yes, great news. Two new signings in Luke O'Neill and Callum Riley, performing well for the Dons, at Hampton and Richmond yesterday. Good stuff. Right. Plenty more coming up after this.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport. You're listening to the AFC Wimbledon fan show. Me, Matt Beadle, with the giggling guys.
Oh, sorry.
From the 9 Years podcast. Gents, professionalism, please.
We're
crying
putting
out loud.
Ourselves together like a pair of curtains.
Now, I'm delighted to say, chaps, we've got a caller on the line. Wow. Jamie in London wants to ask you if the team will actually have a plan on the ball this year. Jamie, how are you doing?
Hey, guys.
Great to have you, Jamie, on the show, boss. Now, what's the question you want to put to these guys in exact words? What are you wanting to ask them?
My question is this. I like the look of Riley from what I saw yesterday, but without a creative, quote-unquote, midfield player or kind of a bigger number nine, a Hanson kind of player, I wonder what you guys think the plan is going to be on the ball. Last year when it was working, it seemed to me, at least towards the end of the season, it was quite obvious with Piggott playing off Hanson and Offutt sitting deep and keeping shape. I just wonder, sort of foot on the ball in the middle of the park, what the plan is, what kind of areas we're looking to get it into. At the moment, it's not so obvious to me what kind of purpose we play to or kind of philosophy or what we'd be trying to do, whether that's getting the fullbacks in behind, you know, with Nesta on the left. I wonder what you guys think.
Jamie, did I stand next to you at Met Police on Tuesday?
Yes, you did.
Ah, okay, so you were the one that went to Lancaster University, yeah?
Edinburgh.
Sorry, not Lancaster. I was talking to somebody else. Edinburgh. Apologise.
Come on, kid. Get your facts right. Well,
no, I'm sorry. That's terrible. No, I spoke to somebody else during the course of the game who went to Lancaster. That's very strange. Edinburgh. Sorry. Hello. We discussed this before we went on air. Maybe we should have recorded it because we were talking about how we're going to play. We do seem to have two formations. We've got a plan A. It's not really a plan B. It's like plan A2, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to go 3-5-2 or 5-3-2. I think it's just that we are going to. I think we're going to play massively through the fullbacks, and I think getting the right wing backs, having Luke O'Neill and Nesta Guinness-Walker are massive. They're going to be hugely influential in the way we play. And I don't think we are going to play the target man unless we get one in during the week. Now, there was some rumour started yesterday by James Whittaker. I'm sure if James is listening, hello, James, who was I'm utterly convinced we're going to sign a striker on Monday, well, a new player on Monday, and it's Tom Elliott's going to have his contract cancelled at Millwall. Is it going to be him? I don't think we're going to get a target man in. I think we are going to, although Joe Piggott scored the majority of his goals with James Hansen with him in the side, not doing an awful lot in terms of creating chances, but creating space for him. I think we're not going to have that. I think he's looking at Joe Piggott as slightly more of a target man than he was last season, with Michael Folivi picking up the bits off him. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Like he's picking bits off like an animal would, like picking off fleas. I don't think we are going to play the way we ended last season.
No.
I think we've got a new way of playing, and we don't have the target man.
And come on.
I was going to say, do you think that if someone was to come into Appiah, both giving us, you know, meaning that we would only have three centre forwards in the squad and a little bit of money, Wally would be keen to get someone like that in, like a Hanson? Do you think that, or I guess the second obvious question is, would it have been worth keeping hold of Hanson, given that that would be a serious plan B?
He didn't want to say.
You would
keep somebody like James Hanson, a big, strong target man. If maybe Tommy Wood in 6 months' time could fit that bill. James Hanson didn't want to stay because he wanted to move back home to the north to be with his family. And you have to understand and respect that. It's, you know, it's footballers, as we said before, human beings, and they miss their family if they're not with them. And then he wasn't. So good luck. I wish James Hanson all the best with that. It's difficult, isn't it? I just don't think we're going to have that target man unless, as you say, someone does come in for Kwesi and there's some money freed up. But Kwesi's on, we believe, George, don't we? George is nodding at me. No, George is shaking his head and saying, don't say the figures. Kwesi's on quite good money. I would happily take Kwesi's wages.
Yeah.
but for doing my job, I have to say. And I don't think other teams, if they're going to come in and take Kwesi on loan, or they're going to take him, they want to sign him, they ain't going to pay him what we're paying him.
No, I think that's the thing. I think
with all respect to Kwesi,
if Kwesi does leave, I think it will be a situation where, like we've seen before, not with us but with other clubs, where we end up paying half of his wages for a season or something.
I'd still take half his wages.
No, I think that is the most likely outcome. We pay half his wages and he goes to a League Two or Conference side, paying him, you know, still a significant sum.
But is Kwesi going to want to be third or fourth choice striker on that kind of money? Maybe he is, but I'd. As a footballer, with 27 years old, the prime of his career, does he want to be second or third or fourth choice for a struggling League One side?
But that's the thing you also have to consider, is that Kwesi's in his final year of his contract. So if he's fourth choice and not getting minutes for us, where does he get next year?
Yeah,
that's probably also needs to be in his mind.
Maybe people will be talking about him on the non-league show.
Perhaps they will be. Jamie, just before you go, boss, predictions for the season. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Where are AFC Wimbledon going to finish up in League One this season?
Well, I think hopes, dreams and predictions are unfortunately not going to be the same. I think we'll be just fine. I think, sadly enough, given Bolton and Bury's fate, meaning effectively, probably two of the rest go down, I think we'll be fine. I think it won't go to the last day as it has in the last couple of years. It'll be, I'm hoping we sort of stumble into something, a little bit like we stumbled into the 5-3-2 that's functional and works, a little bit of a better home record and comfortable on the table. I mean, if we're basically safe by March, that would be wonderful.
That's my mantra has been, isn't it? All summer, safe by Easter.
Yeah.
I don't know when Easter
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Easter's April, isn't it?
Yeah.
Easter's middle of April, so if we're safe on middle of April, I will be happily buying Jamie a pint and we're celebrating safety or with an Easter pint.
Pretty much at the end.
Me too, I'll join you.
Pretty much at the end of the season. Jamie, thanks very much for your call, buddy.
No, all good. Thanks so much.
Cheers, buddy. Yeah, that was Jamie from London saying that he's hoping you guys will be safe by Easter. Someone who isn't saying that and is full of optimism is Stuart Castledean, who was on the show, on the Score show with us yesterday. And we chatted to him and he was saying that he didn't really think too much tweaking needed to be done during the summer. He thought that obviously towards the end of last season, it was pretty incredible form. He did say that it's all about consolidation. He's thinking mid-table. No one's expecting AFC Wimbledon to go up, but he's really confident. Castledean, he thinks you're going to do all right.
Yeah, I think Wally and all of that group, the management group, is really confident, because if you look at the league table from the date we hired Wally Downs, we were 13th in the table from that date to the end of the season. And Wally Downs said at the Meet the Manager, that's our target this year. He wants us to finish 13th. I think that's very optimistic, considering what we know about our budget and about transfers and all of that.
Yeah.
But I do think the general mood from the management staff and the players is that we should be safe, you know, not on the final day.
I think that's how, as fans of this club, it's how we work, isn't it? That we just have this idea that we're going to struggle and then we're very happy when we don't. And then last season, we struggled and we expected it. I don't know, other fans of other clubs have the same thing. Well, I didn't think Luton would win the league. I thought they would be better than they are, but I know a couple of other Luton fans, not Nick Draper, who thought they would struggle. And then I think most teams think they would struggle. If you get a prediction from a fan of every club in League One, they'll probably put everyone finishes 14th. Mm. No one thinks they're going to go up. No one thinks they're going to go down. You all think, oh, about 14th. And you've got 23 clubs in 14th place, plus Bury. Let's hope not making like that. I do hope Bury do start the season. But I hope they start the season if they can finish it. If they can't finish the season, then don't start it. Because then that awful word expunged comes in. And then you get all your records get wiped out. And then we all discuss whether Nathan Ashton ever played for us at Chester or not. It's horrible for them. Can I be on radio and saying I really hope Bolton and Bury sort this out for their fans' sake, not for anybody else, for their fans' sake.
Absolutely. Sorry, go on, George.
I think for Bury, the key date is tomorrow, because they've been given a midday tomorrow is the deadline for them to submit their financial application to the FA, or the EFL, sorry, before the EFL start cancelling games. So I think we'll know by tomorrow afternoon just how likely it is for Bury to start the season.
Because if they don't submit those financial projections by midday, then their game on Saturday's off. First game of the season doesn't take place. That's horrible.
And you know they're facing an uphill battle already with the points deductions as well. So you'd think even if they did start the season, it is one heck of a long haul to very much get out of it. It's going to be tough for those guys. Last week we also mentioned a trialist, that was neither confirmed nor denied by anybody on this show. Did you ever hear about who that was in the end?
Yeah. Okay. It was him.
Okay, that's good. There was another one.
There was, yeah.
There was another one against Metropolis.
A very good one. And this is going to sound terrible. We thought it was the same player.
Right.
But my son, who I was with, said, it's definitely not him because he doesn't wear those boots. Yeah. This is where 18-year-olds come
to spot. Absolutely, yeah.
He doesn't wear those boots. The player where you thought it was doesn't wear those boots he wears or whatever. I said, can you spot boots from here? He said, no, he doesn't have those. Anyway, so he looked him on FIFA, I presume, and just said, doesn't wear those boots. And we did discover who it was. Are we allowed to mention who it was? Because we're not signing him. So we thought it was this other player who it isn't. And it turned out to be Moses Mukasey from West Ham.
Young midfielder.
Only we knew this because one of the players called him Moses. Yeah. And we heard, and we thought, well, what Moses is that? And then somebody said, oh, it's Moses Mukasey. Someone behind us told us who it was. Whether he was supposed to or not, I don't know. He was decent. I quite liked him, but he doesn't appear to be coming back. But then you think he's 23 years old. He's only played 24 first-team games, and none of them for West Ham. There's a lot of 17-year-olds have played 24 first-team games, and Anthony Hartigan's still 19 and played nearer 100, isn't he? So he's been on loan at Stevenage and was it Plymouth?
Chelmsford, Plymouth and Stevenage he's been on loan at,
He made his debut for Plymouth against us when they beat us 4-2. Don't remember him. We watched that game. Yeah. We watched that game in the... I did anyway, in the bar. That was one of the beanbag games. That was an awful game of football.
Yeah, it was bad.
But he's not come. It's a shame. And then we had another trialist at Hanwell, not coming. We had another trialist who came on at Met Police, came on up front, missed an open goal from a yard. Was actually quite decent. Haven't seen him since either. So I think the trialists haven't made it.
Interesting. Well, speaking about youth as well, we've had a couple of questions in on the Twitter. First one from Dan Curran. Do you think Paul Osue will... Osue is the right way to say that, isn't it?
Yeah.
...will get match time or at least a place on the bench this season? Dan thinks he's been the youth player to really shine in pre-season.
I'd agree with that. I think Paul Osue's come a long way from where he was a year ago. He's developing really well.
Where was he?
I
thought he meant physically.
Yeah. No, he's...
he's come a long way. He was in a Kettering or something.
I think he's developed really well. He's coming along. He's improving every game he plays. He looks really dangerous. He fits into the Wally style of play of attacking wing-backs and, you know, getting crosses in, taking your man on. I can see him getting minutes. I think he probably is our second-choice left-back this season or left wing-back. Mm-hmm. So I can see him getting certainly bench time, maybe even a start.
I like him. he was in the second half yesterday, he was taking his full-back on and was really, really doing well against him. The full-back was trying to kick him. Their right back was trying to kick him, and he was too quick to be kicked. Yeah. Like quite like that, he responded to the 50 or so that was of us who were encouraging him to take the player on. He seemed to he responded to it. I think that's nice. I think it's good. Listen to he was getting encouragement for even when he wasn't getting his crossing. We applauded him, saying well done. It was great to see a young player. So we do have an Osue Osew, and we have an Osue Osu. Mm. What's his first name? The other one,
KJ. I don't know what his first name is. It's his
KJ.
Yeah, it's KJ Osu is what everyone knows him as.
There you go. So Paul Osu with an EW is this one. And I would agree. I think he's played himself into the squad, which he's come from pretty much nowhere, to be fair, hasn't he? He's done very well.
Good stuff. Okay, a bit more chat about the youth after this, but plenty more coming up. We're going to be talking fundraising initiatives and looking at some of the transfer talk all around AFC Wimbledon.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
A bit more chat on youth. I just want to carry this on because that was quite interesting earlier on. Sam Wilkie has dropped us a tweet at SamuelWilkie94. He said, thoughts on Tommy Wood, guys. Will he get much game time this year? If so, who will he work better with, Piggott or Favoli?
I think Tommy Wood's come on a long way. Last year, he did well for the 23s, scored a lot of fun in all the development leagues, then went on loan to Burgess Hill, scored a lot of goals there as well. Came in this summer, really, I think we all thought he'd be fifth choice behind Ross Grove as well. But the interesting thing is he scored a couple of goals in pre-season. He was picked in this weekend's...
He's got four?
Yeah.
That's two couples.
George. In the two sets of 90 minutes that we've done over the last two games, Ross Grove hasn't played in any of them and Tommy Wood has. And I think that says a lot about where he is in the pecking order now. Technically, I think he probably isn't the greatest striker we've ever had, but he gets a lot of goals at whatever level he's played at, so that counts for something.
He's one of those players that... The idea of being in the right place at the right time. I remember Gary Lineker saying, it's not the right place at the right time. He's always in that place, and every now and again it becomes the right place at the right time. He's always there. And then we had a discussion with Stuart Deakins yesterday. I think Stuart has Adam Ross Crowe just above Tommy Wood in that pecking order. Good. I won't bore you with where the phrase pecking order comes from. It does come from birds.
I tell you what, I learn more and more on this show. It's not all about football. It's about life experiences.
I think it should be. It's a life sport.
Are you actually going to give me the etymology of pecking order? You're going to.
I wasn't going to, but if you'd like, but it comes from chickens. But anyway, it's generally for the chickens when they're eating their food and they're fed. The bigger, older chickens would be fed first. They would make sure they were fed first by getting in there and elbowing out wings, moving the other younger birds out of the way, and then they would feed first. Hence pecking order.
By pecking away at them.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Anyway, so. Stuart, George, you're learning something, surely. We spent a weekend in Germany together. George learned so much, didn't you?
Yeah.
About how to drive in Germany. Anyway, you're looking at Adam Ross Crowe. Is he slightly above Tommy Wood? Adam Ross Crowe is older, has played more football, but a lower level. Tommy Wood started off in Burnley's academy, isn't he?
No, they signed him from Park Football.
Oh, of course they signed him from Parks. They did. So he's Park Football, Burnley Academy, came to us. I like him. I think there's something about Tommy Wood. Given the choice of two, we haven't seen much of Adam, really, but given the choice of two, my preference is for Tommy Wood is slightly above Adam Ross. There's not much in it, admittedly, but I think he's just got a bit more about him physically. League One strikers, he is your target man. He is the size of James Sands. He's a big lad. Adam Ross is a lot smaller, a lot slighter. Different kind of player. You can't compare them, really, because they play different games, but I think Tommy Wood is just above. And if they're going to send one out on loan, I think possibly you send Adam Ross Crowe out.
Yeah, especially because he needs the minutes at a higher level. Because even if we send him out on loan to a conference or a conference south club, that's still much higher
conference,
than...
Conference, grandad, National League.
National Come League.
On. I've got a lot of time for that. I've got a lot of time for the conference. Good stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's much higher level than the Welsh Premier League.
Oh, it is.
So I think even if we send him out there just to get him minutes, and because just send him out for a year there, because then we will learn, is he someone who we can work with, develop and become a Football League level player, or is he someone who can just score 50 goals a season in the Welsh League?
But yeah, that's a good point. But he didn't score that many goals in the Welsh League, did he? He only scored 14 in 30-something games last year. It's not hugely prolific. Mm. But yeah, all right, I agree with you, George. I think you send Adam Ross Crowe out on loan to see if he's going to be that good. I think they should know that Tommy Wood is going to be good or not by now. Yeah. And the fact he's, obviously 20, 21, I think he's got something. But as you said, he scores goals. He scored four in so far in pre-season. A penalty, a tap-in, a good finish and a great header. And I think he's that kind of player that I'd like to see him on the bench.
In addition to that, we've got another tweet from Mike Overall, Mike_Overall, said, in all seriousness, because he's had a bit of back and forth, what do you guys think we can do to stop this seemingly constant flow of youth players departing for bigger clubs? We've obviously seen this happen. I get we shouldn't hold them back, but surely we should be getting better than the standard £100,000, which is the most we ever seem to get. Good point.
I think we get a lot more than that for certain players, especially players like Ryan Sweeney and Will Mannion and Joe Bursich, who are, developing and going on to play for their country's youth setups. And I think we are doing well, but the only way of really sort of getting any real money for them is offering them senior contracts at 16, 17. And then that's a huge, huge risk to take on someone signing on a 3-4 year pro contract at that age.
That is the risk. It's the idea of, can we afford to give these 16, 17-year-olds good contracts to keep them? / can we afford to lose them? And I think you have to weigh it up. And there's some that are going to fall by the wayside. It's a good question, and there's no obvious answer to it.
It's really difficult, especially at this level now, because, again, this is something you see with goalkeepers. You actually see a lot of younger goalkeepers being kept on by clubs and just being a second string or third string, and they think, crikey, I've got my big break here. I'm going to be a pro, and they get put on a one-year contract. They sit on the bench. They don't do anything because they've got no experience. They end up falling out of the game, going into non-league and having to work their way back up again. So it's a really difficult situation for some of these youth players, because you want to see them go on, you want to see them better themselves, and you want money for the club, but at the same time they end up going to better clubs but not actually playing, and therefore stifling their development, when really, if there was a better system in place whereby NASC Wimbledon were able to sell these players on, but with the proviso that they kept them for a further 2 years on loan, that would work out much better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think someone, I forget, on Facebook showed a picture of the Hull Senior Cup Final program yesterday, yeah. And Will Manning was in goal for Hull's, whatever that is. Yeah. He left us a long time ago, yeah. At 17, 18, and he's not... But also, he's on the bench.
Hull's backup goalie in that game also played for us. Both Hull goalies involved in that game came through our academy.
Is that Faulkner?
Harrison Faulks.
Yeah, Harrison Faulks.
There was that spell a couple of years ago where we had lost three goalies one summer, all to Premier League clubs from our academy.
Yeah.
And it just, the fact that one of them is actually, Joe Bursich is looking like he'll go on loan to Accrington this season. Will Mannion will be probably looking at a League One club as well.
Yeah.
And obviously Harrison Faulks will probably be looking for a Conference North club. But the way you see it now is all these clubs do have like 10, 15 goalies on their books and loaning them out all the way down.
Yeah. Well, look at Burnley.
Yeah.
Five first-choice keepers until last week, till one of them went. Yeah. You don't need that many goalkeepers. No. It's ridiculous.
And that means that lower division clubs like us, that's why we've had a goalie on loan as our first choice for about 5 years now.
I think a lot of people are saying we should have our own goalkeeper by now. But I think that's, and I understand that. But there are so many decent quality goalkeepers on from Premiership clubs or from Championship clubs that are not getting games. Look at George Long. Fantastic goalkeeper. As Sheffield United ended up selling him to Hull for, is it £4 million? But he was only on the bench for half the season. Yeah. Aaron Ramsdale, I was going to say on record again, I do think Aaron Ramsdale will play for England one day. And he's maybe third choice at Bournemouth. They're still looking for to sign another goalkeeper. Yeah. But he's probably good enough for Premiership football, surely. Yeah. But he probably won't get the shot. Even at Bournemouth, seems to be a really well-run club and everyone loves Eddie Howe. I just don't think he's going to get the chance he deserves.
I think that's a big problem with the development as the wider game of England is getting young players minutes.
Yeah.
And that's why so many young players are having to go to Germany, Spain, Portugal to just try and play.
The benefit you have got in Leagues 1 and League 2, and this is why you're seeing a lot of better goalkeepers coming down to that level, is that Championship clubs now are even taking on that three-pronged goalkeeping system. And because one of them is dispensable, you're often seeing really good quality goalkeepers filter into League 1 and League 2 because they can do. And obviously you've got the emergency loan, which we saw last season with the likes of Matt Ingram going back to Wickham, I think, for 7 days on an emergency loan. He's obviously gone to Hull now, so you'd like to think that he'll get some game time after the pretty dreadful move to QPR. Now, we're going to quickly touch on fundraising initiatives, guys. George, Kevin, who wants to talk me through this?
I'm happy. We're squabbling over who doesn't have to talk about this. George.
I think it's one of those where this is something that has been in the pipeline for a long time. This week, we finally worked out what you're going to get in, what you get back for how much money you put in. And it varies from putting in £100 where you get your commemorative scarf and a brick at the new stadium named after you. £500 you get...
I don't know why I find that funny. Just having a brick named after you just seems very, very small, doesn't it?
So is it that's one of those classic things where it's a wall and everybody's name's on the brick.
Yeah, it'll be that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've got one now.
For £500, you get your name on a step leading up to the stadium.
So fans can just walk all over you at every game.
But it does actually get worse than that because there is an option.
We're supposed to be positive, George.
There is your option for... it's actually, again, in the £500 category, you could have your name put on a urinal.
Yeah, and a beer tap. Yeah. I think you should have a beer tap and a urinal because it's the obvious start and end of the journey.
So, I've not known this before. Okay, so look, let's go through these, shall we? So, £100 is a commemorative scarf, an individual brick plaque in the new stadium. £250 is all of the above, plus two tickets for a home game in the stadium's first season.
We're seeking to get hold of we don't need that, do we?
So you don't need that, of course you don't.
But I'm saying that's the whole point. Most of us are seeking to get hold of
it. Absolutely. I guess it's just a token thing to give you more bang for your buck because you're paying £250. Yep. Quid. All of that is included, again, for £500, plus what George has just said, your name on the steps and your name on a turnstile, urinal, a beer tap or a screen or an EPOS till. That's interesting. For £1,000... you get everything plus a hospitality upgrade on the two league home game tickets. Not too bad. Every time we go up a grade, that's everything included plus. So £5,000 is the hospitality upgrade and two extra league home game tickets plus your choice of name on a toilet block. Not just the urinal.
When you say toilet block, do you mean the little cake thing that goes into the urinal?
The urinal,
or do you
cake?
Mean a block of toilets?
I believe it will be the block of toilets.
Do you want a toilet named after you? I'm not sure.
It doesn't have to be in your name, I should say.
Is this on the outside? Yes. So it's going to be like the George toilets?
Yeah, something like that.
And you can nominate somebody else.
Yeah, you can name it after someone else or something else. Which has given some of our fans ideas.
That's the perfect stag gift or something,
Toilet face or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can also have your choice of name on food. George, what's going on here? So what, it's called the George, the Kevin hot dog? Or?
No, it's the kiosk. The food and beverage kiosks.
I will see.
I mean, listen, this is incredibly innovative. I don't know that this has been done at a club before, not that I can think of, but moving on, there's more.
Yeah, there's not.
For 10 grand, your choice of name on a changing room seat. You can watch a first team training session, have lunch with the players. I like that. That's a nice little thing. 20 grand, lunch with the manager and a player of your choice, and your choice of a non-business name on the stadium during the first season. Of course, there are certain regulations they have to adhere to. And for 50 grand, it just goes up and up, doesn't it? A round of golf with Wally and a club legend.
And a club legend.
And who you get a training session
is
with
that
the
you,
guys.
George?
Yeah, I get a feeling I'm going to be roped in for some of them.
Yeah. Clay, you can also become a club patron there. And for the big whammy, 100 grand plus, you can travel with the team for an away match of your choice, including the overnight stay, and become a vice president of AFC Wimbledon. I tell you what, fundraising initiatives have gone into overdrive at AFC Wimbledon this year. We'll be discovering some more after this on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport and the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Me, Matt Beardall, here with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin and George. When I ever say that now, Kevin and George, it reminds me of...
Rainbow.
No, it's a good one, actually. No, it reminds me of the cartoon Sharky and George, the crime busters of the sea. Remember that?
Nope.
Just me. A 90s cartoon.
Please don't forget. I'm 51.
So. Sure.
And I was born in 97.
So no, we don't.
Okay, I was going to say you're making me feel old, but you're making me feel young. So there we go.
My kids are 21 and 18. So what was it called?
Sharky and George.
Sharky and George.
Yeah, they were the crime busters of the sea. Yeah, a good cartoon of that time. No. Anybody remember Sharky and George? We've got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
0208 7020 558 at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. You can also WhatsApp us on that number.
I'm sorry for mentioning Rainbow. I probably shouldn't have done that. But
no, Rainbow's okay. Zippy and Rod, Jane and Freddie and all the rest of them.
Sorry, George. I won't do that again. That's terrible.
You sounded like... I don't know what you sounded like then.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, before the break, we were talking about the fundraising initiatives at AFC Wimbledon. And now, look, I quite like these. I think it's innovative. It's something new. It's a bit quirky. Having your name on a urinal, I think, is something that, do you know what? Some lads, after a few beers, might go, do you know what? I'll do that. I'll be up for that. It'd be a bit of a giggle to be imprinted on a urinal. obviously, it ranges from 100 quid all the way to 100 grand. Fellas, what's the reaction been like amongst fans to these initiatives?
Mixed.
Yeah?
I think people understand the need to raise money, and this is a novel, innovative, let's say, fun way of doing it. There has been some, is that, look at what you get for 100 quid, a scarf and a brick. Look what you get for 100 grand. Is that worth 100 grand? It is to some people. Maybe it isn't to me. Maybe I don't have 100 grand to invest in the club, unfortunately. Wish I did, but I haven't. I don't know. The idea of buying a vice presidency of the club, that seems like that's something that should be bestowed upon you rather than something that should be bought. I don't know whether there should be something else.
Surely there must be some. I mean, I imagine the club have looked into this, but surely there are some sort of conventions that you have to adhere to in terms of who you have on your board and who is a vice president. You can't just buy your position.
That's been the concern. You've picked up on exactly that. People say, well, if I am person X and after next week, anyone can register. Doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be Wimbledon fans. Anyone can register. So does that mean if I am a particularly unpleasant person who supports another football team and I put £1 million in, I can be a vice president of the club that I don't support? That's a bit of an odd one. I guess the idea that there won't be that many people doing that, because I know we're not in austerity times. We do have Boris Johnson as our prime minister. It's a strange phrase to actually come out of my mouth, but people don't have that much money to spend on luxury items. And 100 grand for a game of golf and an away trip sitting next to our players, I don't know whether that's worth it. But people are saying that this, you're investing in a club. Yes, you're buying shares, but it's not an investiture that you can get back. This isn't like you make an investment in a business and then 2 years later your investment is worth double. Well, I'll just pull it out again and I'll make the money. It's like Dragon's Den. Great. This isn't that.
And this is also for one season, I'm presuming, because you're going to move on, right? So if you've got your name on a urinal or a toilet block or...
I think all of those are permanent.
They're going to stay at...
So all of it is permanent.
Yeah. If you have your name on a napkin... then no, I'm guessing not. It won't be. But yeah, the toilet idea.
You've got quite a lot to get through. If you're doing the 100 grand, if you're doing the full shebang, the 100 grand, there's a hell of a lot that you can have your name on. And listen, I if you have got a spare 100 grand, or if you're a business, I suppose, although you can't do it because there has to be some sort of non-commercial aspect to this. I can see the appeal. Football's very tribal. You like to have a bit of ownership on your club. If you've got the cash, I do understand it. And if you've got a spare 500 quid or a grand lying around, it's not the worst thing to do, is it?
No, it's as long as you don't expect something out of it. Mm. I think you're not going to invest money and get money back. You're basically buying sponsorship of a bit of the ground. Obviously, at the moment, we don't know if we've actually got a ground sponsor, do we? Because the idea is we'll have a sponsor, that the ground will be named after somebody or after something. It won't be a betting company or an alcohol company or a company that makes cigarettes or arms or guns or whatever, or tanks. So it's not going to be the FN Hurstal football stadium, but it will be somebody who will have their name on the ground at some point. I don't know if we've got anyone in lined up. I presume there has to be somebody. But who's it going to be? That's the other thing. Will it be the Love Sports Stadium at Plough Lane, or will it be the Plough Lane Love Sports Stadium? Or, and I'm not saying for a minute that Love Sport will do
I don't know whether we've committed to being the sponsors of AFC Wimbledon.
I'm sorry, I was just
Plough
using
Lane
a name that wasn't a alcohol, drugs or guns company. But we need someone. Someone's got to step up, and there has to be some company that comes along and puts some money in that everyone's happy with, that's ethically sourced, and it isn't going to cause anybody any offence. And so it's not going to be Starbucks that don't pay their tax, apparently. There's companies out there that will hopefully have the money and the interest and will tick all of our ethical boxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone who has stepped up amongst a few movers and shakers at the club this week, Mark Robinson, we've seen, the ex-under-18 manager, has moved to the head of development / loan manager. Jeremy Sowell, the ex-academy manager, he's gone to West Ham. Rob Tuvey has moved from under-16 manager to under-18 manager. And Joe Roberts has left as foundation stage head coach. So quite a few changes. We've obviously seen Callum Riley come in as well from Gillingham, who we discussed earlier.
And I think it's a big thing. The academy's undergone quite a major shake-up this summer. It's been incredibly successful. We saw that with five players signing pro contracts last year. We had 8 academy players on the pitch at one stage yesterday. And to lose so many academy staff to different roles, and even though most of them are staying internally, it's a big time for our academy, and it will be telling over the coming years whether this has been sort of successful.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Sowell, who's gone to West Ham to be their assistant academy manager, that's a big loss, and someone at the academy's got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think he did a really good job. He's one of those people that maybe half the supporters wouldn't recognise him if they walked past him, but he is really, really important. Knowing that, but you look at when the young players come through, the likes of Paul Osu and Paul Kalambai, they really, really talk him up as if he was some kind of father figure to them. And he was superb at that job. And it's a shame. But yeah, good luck to him, because he's moving up to a similar role in the Premiership Academy. Right. Good luck to him.
And just looking ahead to the friendlies coming up, guys, Crystal Palace and Rotherham. I'm presuming you'll both be going to these games.
Yeah.
Rotherham's a league game. First league game of the season.
Yeah, so looking forward to Rotherham, of course.
Palace, we don't know what sort of team we're going to get out of them. They play their first team at Bristol City, didn't they, the weekend? Still the weekend. I would like to see Zaha play, but he's not going to happen, is it? Yeah. But there'll be some good players in that. That's a good test against probably not full-strength Palace side. Yeah. So maybe they'll play the likes of IU and Townsend and Meyer, etc. Tompkins, perhaps. So it'd be good to test them. But Saturday is the big thing. That's the real deal starts on Saturday against a very strong Rotherham side.
And that's Tuesday will be the first time we will see our starting 11 for the Rotherham games playing together, because they haven't played together yet in pre-season.
No.
So it's very much against Crystal Palace, assuming we do start our starting 11 for that first league game. It's going to be there's not much time to fix if something is wrong in that setup.
Just 2 days. If we start, I thought we'd maybe start the 11 on yesterday.
Yeah, I did too.
But we'll have one friendly with the starting 11.
We will. I see how we're going to end the show. They were absolutely brilliant stuff. George, I'm presuming that you will be first in the ground on Saturday.
Yeah? As always.
First in. Just to finish, we've had another tweet in from Dean P, who said, at the moment, he thinks Wood has shown more in pre-season than Appiah and Roscoe. For me, a cracking header against Offenbach. So that's some good feedback there from Dean P. Okay, this has been the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show for another week. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from 9 Years Podcast. We'll be back next Sunday at 8 p.m. to have all the reaction from that first game against Rotherham.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.